It's called protein degradation. And if you're a bad protein in a cancer cell, you'd better get your affairs in order. Because now, thanks to Dana-Farber's foundational work, protein degradation can target cancer-causing proteins and destroy them, right inside the cell. This take-no-prisoners approach is making a difference in multiple myeloma and other blood cancers, and is how Dana-Farber is working to treat previously untreatable cancers. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Time's running out to avoid the fiscal cliff.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From 8 p.m. in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison, in for Jeremy Hobson. The president is back in Washington today to deal with the fiscal cliff. A long-term deal is unlikely at this late date. Now the hope is lawmakers can find a stopgap solution to prevent higher taxes and big spending cuts. For a look at what Americans think about these high-stakes budget issues, we turn to Attitude Check, our weekly partnership with the polling firm Gallup.
And the latest poll numbers suggest margin of error.
There is somewhat of a disconnect.
It's conventional wisdom.
Our survey said.
Gallup editor-in-chief Frank Newport joins us. Good morning, Frank.
Good morning.
Let's begin with the fiscal cliff. Do Americans see going over the cliff as a real threat to their own pocketbooks?
They do. There's a lot of polling which show that Americans think it will be negative for the U.S. as a whole. But in answer to your question, we did probe that and say, will this have a negative impact on your family's personal finances? And we found over 6 out of 10 Americans said yes, it would affect them negatively if the U.S. sails off the cliff on January 1st.
Now, polling also shows that Americans want leaders to find a compromise. At times, the battle over the fiscal cliff, it's often portrayed as a duel between President Obama and House Speaker John Boehner. Now, it's obviously more complicated than that, but since that is how a lot of people see it, what do your data show as far as what Americans think of the two men?
If it is a duel, President Obama is winning said duel. Okay. 54% approval rating for Obama's handling of the fiscal cliff, and that's through the weekend just prior to Christmas. John Boehner's approval rating for his handling of the fiscal cliff is down at 26%, so it's a 2-to-1 advantage for President Obama. Other polls have said, who would you blame if the agreement is not reached? And clearly the Republicans and John Boehner get more of the blame than Obama.
Now, Congress is lower than either the president or Speaker Boehner. What has the fiscal cliff debate done to America's opinion about Congress?
We actually have approval rating for Congress right now at 18%, which is miserable, but not quite as miserable as last summer when it reached 10%, which was the lowest in Gallup history. So, hey, there's a little good news there.
Now, one thing I always wonder when I hear those low approval ratings for Congress, you know, despite all the hate for Congress, it's made up primarily of people who are elected and reelected by pretty wide margins. Now, some of this is about how districts are drawn, that kind of thing. But in general, people dislike the idea of Congress, but they mostly like their own member of Congress. What's going on there?
That's true. You know, that's a fascinating phenomenon that we find in polling, not just about Congress, but Americans will say, oh, schools are terrible across the country, but I like my kid's school. We have a health care crisis, but I like my doctor. And it's absolutely right. You're absolutely correct on Congress. So there is kind of an anomaly there where Americans dislike the institution, but like the men and women that are representing them in their personal district.
Okay. Thanks, as always, for your insight. Gallup editor-in-chief Frank Newport.
My pleasure.
Fresh numbers on new home sales come out later this morning. Lately, they've risen to levels not seen since 2010. Those numbers aren't just important to home builders and buyers. Marketplace's Eve Tro reports on what this all means for the larger economy.
Existing home sales are more than 90% of the housing market, says Greg McBride at Bankrate.com. If you want to understand housing, that's the important number. New home sales say more about the economy at large.
There's a lot of economic activity taking place in the construction of that new property and its eventual sale that you don't get with just the turnover of an existing home.
New home sales mean economic growth, he says. And you could call this crop of new construction growth interrupted.
Los Angeles realtor Alan Glass says a lot of today's new homes were planned years ago.
You're seeing development projects that had been stalled from the recession picking up steam and being finished.
Because now there's demand. Tim Ellis blogs about real estate at SeattleBubble.com. He described a scene at a new subdivision.
There were literally people camping out in tents waiting for these new homes to come on the market. The sales office opens and they're sold out like the first day.
He says first-time buyers are being pushed into new homes because investors are snapping up the bargains, the short sales and foreclosures. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading with gains in Asia and Europe. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow dropped 0.2% to close at 13,114. More than 1,600 flights have been canceled because of the brutal winter storm now battering the Northeast.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by CEB, formerly Corporate Executive Board, working to equip senior leaders and their teams with insight and actionable solutions to transform operations. More by Googling CEB. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
In Baltimore around the holidays, a five-pointed star shines over a mill once operated by Bethlehem Steel. It has been a holiday icon for decades, but as Bruce Wallace reports, it may never glow again.
The star at Sparrows Point Steel Mill first rose in the late 70s, shining atop a massive blast furnace.
It was a symbol of Christmas.
Mike Lewis was a crane operator at the mill for 34 years.
If you were sitting on the right side of a plane making its final approach to BWI, that star was visible. It's something that's always been there.
Sparrows Point was operated for most of its 120 years by Bethlehem Steel. At its height in the 1950s, it employed 30,000. But earlier this year, the mill declared bankruptcy and was sold to a liquidation firm. 2,000 people lost their jobs. The mill has been dark since spring, but current owner Hilco Trading decided to light the star anyway. Mike Lewis figures it's a gesture of solace.
You know, I'm happy that they lit the star, but put that into the perspective of, you know, the annihilation of a plant and a lot of people's livelihoods. I just think it's almost like the vultures showing a little bit of mercy until a baby calf totally dies.
This time next year, the furnace that the star sits on will likely be long gone. I'm Bruce Wallace for Marketplace.
And finally, even if your brother founded Facebook, its ever-changing privacy settings still might bite you. Mark Zuckerberg's sister Randy publicly scolded a Twitter user for sending out a family photo she'd posted on Facebook. Zuckerberg said it was meant for friends only, but it still showed up in non-friends' public news feeds. Facebook critics pounced on Randy Zuckerberg and the social network's increasingly complex privacy policy. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.